Good morning. How you guys doing? You know we got to spice it up. You guys know how we do it.
Good morning, new day.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Good.
We're blessed to be here.
It's good to see you guys, man. And, you know, everybody's got their own individual experience, the things that they run up against in life, the trials and that they face, the difficulties that they go through, the experiences and all of that. So for us, the devil tried to attack us in our marriage. He tried to destroy us. He tried to take us out from under, you know, from each other's. You know, we got knocked off balance, knocked off kilter. We were in church every Sunday, just like many of you. So be careful. And you know, you're going, you're working in ministry, you're doing this, you're doing that. But at the same time, a lot of times we're always trying to get the word out to other people. We're ministering to people, and some. You know this is if this is you. You end up experiencing things where you get all this word, you get study, you studied up, and so now you want to tell everybody else about it. The Bible says, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. So it doesn't matter how well you're talking, how much knowledge you have, and all the things you're telling somebody else. What are you doing at home? And what's happening in your own house? So that's very important, very vital, and a lot of times we don't see that. Our wives are hurting and dealing with things, or the husband's dealing with this and this and that, and his validity as a man. And so all these things are happening, and we're not understanding that the devil's just slowly but surely chipping off the paint, you know?
So we're going to share a little bit of our journey, and hopefully it could minister to you and where you are in your life. So before we get started, we'll introduce ourselves. We're Sean and Quita Aubrey, ministers here at New Day. I serve on the personal ministry team as well as our missions department.
Yeah, I know.
Security team.
I run a security team here at New Day, personal ministry, also on the mission team, and everything else. I don't know.
So we hope to share something that will bless you today. It's blessing us as well as we're sharing it. So.
Yeah, and the message, you will take many twists and turns, different things we'll talk about and address, but the main thing is to come back to what's important is our forward focus. The title is Forward Focus, A New Beginning. And our goal is to try to get the people that we share life with to see where we can get focused, more, you know, tapped into what it is that God is trying to take us to. Our battles, you know, as I said before, may come from different areas of our lives. We go through various different things. But the forward focus is something that we kind of get off balance with. You know, many times I don't even think we even know that we're off. You know, we're off track, we're on a rabbit trail, not aware of what's going on. So, as opposed to in years past, I think today we're dealing with a much different animal. Amen. And what's going on in the society around us. Because we're fighting against the TV, the phones, social media. Our kids are involved in various, you know, extracurricular activities. So, we're battling a lot of different things, and our hearts and mind are not totally wrapped around God. We seem to get off balance. You know, we start taking these detours. And so one of the things that I think that we have forgotten in society is our male and female, men and women creation roles. We don't know who we are anymore. And because we're fighting against the creation roles, that God originally planned for us, we're finding that these families are destroyed. Children are destroyed. The next generation is destroyed. So, slide. We're going to talk about Jeremiah 29, 4, and 5. Everybody talks about Jeremiah 29 and 11. You know, I know the plans I have for you. We get excited on that part. But from 4 through 10, there's some fire in there. Okay?
So I'll read it for you. Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord.
Okay, so if you take a look at this very closely, see, we have a tendency to focus on one area of our lives because that's all we can relate to. We're here in America. So we have this notion that America is Babylon. If you travel the world a little bit, you find out that there's a Babylon pretty much everywhere you go. There are Babylons everywhere, okay? So when God is talking about us moving to somewhere or being somewhere, he's not specifically talking about the United States of America, okay? Believe me, you're here for a purpose and a reason, and I hope you find out what that is while you're here, because if you leave and you don't, so help you. But at the end of the day, we're here for a purpose. I wasn't born elsewhere. I was born here, so we have to stand with that, okay? So with that said, we have to realize that God has always left instructions for us on how we are to carry on his plan in a land that's desolate and the things that are going on around us, the things that are happening. So the next slide is, because the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy us, we abandoned the blueprint by way of deterrence and distractions.
A lot of times we look at situations and say, I can't do this because I don't have, or I can't go here because I don't have the means to do this and that. But God gives us instructions. In exile, when you're exiled from someplace, you don't have resources.
Amen.
You have to make do with what you have. God is telling them, build the city, marry, plant, make homes, despite having resources.
And teach your children to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a continuous process. So we seem to miss the distraction and deterrent part is really what gets me, because we always focus on destroy. Bible says kill, steal, and destroy. But a lot of times, because we're not actually being killed at the moment, you're not. You're not dead, okay? Nobody's stealing out of your house every single day, okay? And you're not destroyed on a more literal level. So with that said, we fail to realize that the deterrence and the distractions are gradual destruction.
It's like a slow drip. Had a flashback for a minute. Mm-hmm. That was our marriage, a slow drip.
A slow drip. And then it started leaking.
It was a slow drip to destruction, to destroying our marriage, to destroying our family. It didn't come in some grand scheme of, you know, some big event happening and that's it and we're done. And it was a slow chipping away of the paint off the door. I became more and more empty, more and more just not feeling this whole marriage thing. Mm. Not sure why I did this.
Amen. Amen.
I felt that way, and I felt trapped. I felt lost. I felt like this can't be it, but God is good. And when you feel like you can't take it anymore, you feel like this is just unbearable, God is there, and he will redeem it. Trust me. I never thought I could ever love him that way again. I didn't see it possible. And now I feel like I love him more than I did when I got married.
Go on and give me a little bit of that. Come on. Amen.
So going back to that scripture, I felt like I was in exile in my marriage. And so in that, I couldn't wait for something to happen for me. I had to make it happen in that situation. I had to pray. I had to seek God. I had to build up my home the best way I could with the strength I had and make it happen where I was. God is not going to come and just do a whirlwind and turn everything around like that. We have to do our part. What part are we playing in this mess we had?
Amen.
I was playing a big part. I was looking at him. No, you need to look at yourself. You think you all big and bad and you got it going on with your 2 degrees and all that, but your house is falling apart. So how good is that? So.
Amen. No. It was quite the experience. But it all comes back to the man. Period. Period. You do your job, you don't have to worry about the unhappiness or the displacement of the wife. The man validates the wife, not social media. Okay, so when you take in the side shots and the back shots and all, okay, I'm getting a little excited. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Next slide. So a lot of times we end up in this rat race because and I was going there. I was just going there faster than she wanted me to. So we're going to slow it down and say a lot of times we end up distracted by other things and we go after different things while we're on this marathon called life. And as we go on this marathon called life, we find that there's all these little hangups, these different stages we go through. And we get off the track as opposed to staying on the marathon trail, understanding that it's a marathon, not a sprint, okay? Clip.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Listen, everyone cheering. This is going to be great. Months of training is paying off now. I'm hydrated, glucosed up, and my mental game is on point. Let's do this! Okay, so I'm a little behind on my normal pace. No big deal. Just keep going. And I think I missed a spot on my thigh with my Body Glide. Sure, that won't be a problem. And I don't need to stop for water just yet. Oh, look, here come some hills. That'll be fun. Wait, I'm not even halfway through yet. Feels like I've been running forever. What's with all these hills? The whole course hills? I think it's going to be tougher than I thought. Where is everybody? Am I still on course? I haven't seen a water stop in forever. Why didn't I get water earlier? Well, it's just me, myself, and the road, I guess. Nothing left to do besides confront all of my inner demons. I am going to die. Why did I ever decide to do this? My thighs are raw like two hams, and I think my toenails just fell off. What else could possibly go wrong? Oh, great, the runner's trots. Well, at least I haven't hit the wall yet. I hit the wall. I have never been so tired in all my life. Even my teeth are tired. I think I should just quit. Just stop passing me, you jerks! No, I need to power through. I didn't train for months to give up this late. Time to dig deep. Think of that Olympic runner who finished with a broken leg. That was really gross. But the point is, if he can do it, so can I. Now, come on. The finish line is right up there. One foot in front of the other. Yes! I did it! Oh! This is the greatest feeling in the world. Carry me to the car. I am going to eat my weight.
Next slide. Next slide.
So, in looking at that video, where do you think you are in your life? At what stage? We all go through stages. We're all at various points, not compared to anyone else. But just look, just think about your life and where am I? Am I excited? Am I in denial? Am I in shock? Did I hit the wall? Where are we?
My wall was sitting in a room one night with, and you guys, some of you guys know what I do for a living as a cop. You know, I'm supposed to carry a gun, you know, as a cop. So I'm sitting in the bedroom one night. The boys are in another room. My wife is gone. We're not really talking. We sleep in the same bed, but we don't really talk to each other. So anyway, I'm like sitting in a room with two guns on a nightstand saying, I kind of want to leave here. Like, it would feel better than what I feel right now because I felt like less than a man, okay? And I wanted to do myself. Yeah, I felt better. I felt that it would have been better. It would have been a better choice. And definitely the Spirit came and spoke to me, and I just realized that, you know, I got the boys in the next room. How would that look for them for the rest of their lives? So, next slide. So, here's what I was getting to, and I got interrupted. No, I'm joking. Actually, we were talking about this, you know, in terms of studying. One of the things that we see is that there's a lot of validation that's needed. You know, there's the fatherlessness piece, because we want to blame it on everything else. There's so much going on, but the validation seems to have to come from our self-image, trying to find out who we are. So we're taking these shots, and we're flashing money online. I call it the Money Mayweather shot, and I call this the side rear shot, because everybody's got to do the side view, and then you show the whole thing. And if you tell me that that's your husband or your wife's desire for you to be on there, and they're okay with it, now what's driving their car? Because if I want my wife to do that, then I got some stuff I need to really, really be dealing with, okay? Or if she wants me on there flashing money and flexing and doing all, I mean, it, you know. There's nothing wrong with social media pictures being posted, but we got to remember what the purpose of us being here is. The creation role, the role of a man, the role of a woman. And as a man, it's my job to validate my wife. It's my job to make sure that my sons understand what it's like to treat a woman. The importance of standing on God's word first and foremost, and bringing your house to fulfillment by God's word, not in what people say about you or what made you feel good, or the fact that whatever I lacked in giving you, you're trying to get it out there. You can't get it out there. And it's not America. It's not white people. It's not gray people, blue people, orange people. It's you and God. We sometimes forget that there's a battle between good and evil. It's not a face. It doesn't have a color. It's life. So with that said, next. Paul was speaking to the people of Colossae, and he basically told us, and I would take this for every man, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow deep in him. And let our lives be built in him, built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth, and you'll be taught. You were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Next. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, all these religions. You want to say, oh, his name's supposed to be called this and that. I didn't see a lot of people's demons be cast out in the name of Jesus, so I'm going to stay with that. You can call him whatever you want to call him. You want to call him Yahashua, Yahshua, Yahshua, Jehovah, Yahweh, it's fine. That's up to you, but that's not going to get you into heaven. It's your salvation, and what you do while you're here for God is what counts. Okay? So high-sounding nonsense, because there's a lot of noise in the media. You know, we're paying attention to everything but God. Who's the president, who ain't, what color is his skin and what it ain't. Why he's not out for you and me, you can't please everybody. Let's focus on what God told you to do individually in your home and get to the next. We'll deal with the world at large as we get our own homes in order, okay? That will come from human thinking. That comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. And this relates very much back to, this is Paul speaking way in the New Testament, but if you look backwards, he was the same word was sort of coming out of Jeremiah's mouth. What we read in the beginning. So my biggest, one of my biggest, strongest scriptures that really has ministered to me, and I think every man has to take a stand for this, and that's that who is more powerful to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and bind him and then plunder his house. What is happening in America right now? Is our homes are being destroyed because the man either is not present or he's not spiritually strong enough. That's what's happening to America. Next slide.
Okay, women, where are my girlfriends at?
Sorry. Yeah, okay.
Sorry, Tim.
And half these people don't even know who the girlfriends
don't
are.
Matter. Okay. So, girlfriends, when you hear the word helper, what comes to mind? Let me hear some terms. Support. Assist. Submission. Helper. Just helper in general. Teachers. Woman. Encourager. Great. Now think about your life with others, whether you're married, whether you're with friends, whether you're with your family, are you that helper? Or are you just doing you. So when you talk about creation roles, so I'm speaking to myself. So if you guys get anything out of it, great. Okay. So Genesis chapter two. So I went back to, you know, some of you know my story, how I was raised. My mom was a single parent for majority of my childhood. I have three sisters. Two are here today. Raise your hand. So I have three sisters. And so because my father was in the home, I had to take on the parent role. Is that normal? No. So because of that, I developed this independence and this strongness about me, hardness about me, that was necessary at the time. So when I read this scripture, it kind of like did something inside of me. So when it says, starting at verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And the Lord," this is 15, "the Lord took God, the man, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." That was man's job, to dress and keep the earth. Okay? "And the Lord," this 18, "the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam," this is 21, "and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh inside thereof, the rib which the Lord took out of man, he made woman. 23, Adam said, now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now this was God's vision. But sin entered the world and distracted us. God's vision was that we are here to help and to be company for our husband so that men wouldn't be alone. We got distracted. That's still God's vision. His plan never changed. We changed. So growing up independent, I got money, I got degrees, I went to college, I'm doing me. I'm still a nice person. I'm good. We get along well. But I didn't understand my role.
And neither did I.
I took over, because I know better than you. Yeah. I'll handle the money. You just go do something else. I got this. I'll take care of this. The kids, I'll take them to the doctor. I thought I was doing something, but I was stripping him away from power. Stripping him away. And then I want to get mad because he's not doing nothing. Okay. So then I got tired because we weren't designed for that. We weren't designed to lead, to take over, to I'm doing this, I'm taking care of the money, I'm taking care of all the kids, don't say nothing, do this and that. We weren't designed to lead. The man was. So of course I'm going to get tired. Tired, worn out, beat down, and now I'm mad. Because you let me do it. You shouldn't have let me do it.
You asked.
So women were not created to be hard, angry, not needing anyone. But it stems from hurt and pain. And we all need healing from our past to move into the future God has for us. Amen. So I didn't realize I was hurt. I didn't realize I was in pain. I thought, you know, I'm helping my mom, my sisters. We're all in college. We're doing the thing. We came from Compton, so that's an accomplishment. None of us were pregnant and doing all kinds of drugs or nothing. We were good. So I thought we were good. But it was for a season. And seasons change. Seasons change. Just like it's cold, it's snow on the mountain. In a couple months, it's going to be hot. We got to dress differently. We have to show up differently. And when I got married, that season ended. And I wasn't aware of that ending, which caused a trickle effect. He wasn't aware of his role. And so when you're not aware of your creation roles, then you cause destruction in your marriage without even knowing it. Yeah. And that's how Satan kills, steals, and destroys you. Yeah. Because lack of knowledge and understanding in your life will cause things to happen. And as a result, our kids could have been where? Mm. If I said, you know what, I'm done with you, like I was thinking, and left, where would they be? It's not about us. It's not about what we want, our desires. I'm sick of you. I'm tired. I want to do me. I'm worn out. No, it's about my children. And a lot of times we don't see the next generation because we're so hurt and disturbed, mentally challenged, going through our own mess. We have to get healing from our mess so we can take care of our kids. And it's not just my kids. It's all of the kids. It's all the kids. Some kids are not fortunate enough to have someone with a parent with a sound mind. I'm a social worker, and I see it every day. Thank you. So if you have your right mind and you can make good decisions, make a good decision. It's not about you. It's about your life, what God created you for, to be a helpmate to your husband. If you're not married, do the right thing. Live according to what God told you to do. Live upstanding. Have some values and morals for yourself. Stand up for righteousness. It doesn't have to look the way the world told us it needs to look. That changes every day. One minute, this is in style. Tomorrow, this might look crazy. It probably look crazy now, but... Like, we were in the store, and I saw the suits, where now it's blood and pants when you wear a suit. I'm like, okay, is that the style today? Now, next week is going to be something else. But, you know, we have to do what God told us to do and not what's popular in the world. Right. Sorry.
No, please. Amen. Amen. It's powerful. What she doesn't bring up is also, too, I think part of the problem, to push away, her being able to push away, because you know that honeymoon season, we got married, and we were married young, and you get married, and everybody's excited, and we're excited, and everything's going well. But the chipping away was me being controlling. Just had a controlling personality. Just trying to, you know, being the man. I'm thinking that's the man part because of what I say, you know, or how I do it. And I always had a job, always worked. My father taught me well. Thanks, Dad. Good job. Pops told me to get up and go to work every day. Get up and go to work, even when you don't feel like it. That's what I'm teaching my sons now. You ain't going to feel like it all the time. But a man teaches another man to keep his commitment. Keep your commitment. Do what you're called to do, what you're supposed to do. And don't get caught up in the nonsense, because you end up possibly losing the best thing that ever happened to you. And I know that my wife was ready, and it came a time where finally I was too. I wanted her to get away from me, and she wanted me to get away from her. And I'm so glad that we made a decision.
But nobody would ever have known. We did not show anybody anything. We came to church every Sunday. We were in ministry. Our kids didn't see a whole lot, I don't think, but they probably did. But.
Well, I'll say this. One day David came in the room and started crying.
It was very sensitive spiritually.
Just started crying profusely for no reason. He was like 3 or 4, like 4 years old, and he's crying. I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? He couldn't even tell me. I knew the spirit was in the house, but it was on me. It was my fault. So the Bible says a wise man sees the danger that is ahead and takes precaution. I'm the man. I'm supposed to be the wolf to go out and deal with the land first and then come back and get the troops and say, okay, now this is what we're going to do. This is strategy. Here's how we plan. Okay? But I hadn't done that. He ain't going to catch me sleeping again. So let's just kind of bring this to the close as we kind of wrap it up. God's plan is for every home to be under the authority of a man. If you guys look back in the 60s, very, very segregated times for our country, especially in the inner city communities, only 18% of the mothers were single-family homes. Now it's like 70-80%. That's Satan, not a person, not a race of people, not a system, not it's us. We have to at some point take responsibility and stop putting the blame on other people, because our children are dying, and they're killing each other like crazy, and what we're doing is we're following movements, and storylines and news stations and not understanding that we need to teach our kids what it is to be a man and a woman. Creation roles. We do that, there will be no black man killing another black man. And we don't have to worry about the cops even having an encounter with him. Anybody start thinking about that? What if they don't have an encounter with the law enforcement officer? Okay? Next slide. This, in recent weeks, just pierced my heart. I cried. I was so sad. These babies are in jail for murder right now. Johnny, stand up. Where Johnny at? My son's 16 years old. Okay? Good job singing, boy. Anyway. Stand up. Thanks. DJ, stand up. Okay? That's my other son. He's 14. Okay? And one of the things, these kids are between the ages of 12 and 16. Can you see my two sons going up to a man, taking his wallet, and then he won't give him his keys, they shoot him. And then is smart enough to go take the gun to a Walmart, hide it in the pet section, steal a car, and drive around and now, you know, and I felt, as a cop, I'm really crushed because I'm like thinking, if I got to arrest these kids, I might be choked up trying to put the handcuffs on these boys. And the young lady, that's a girl in the middle. That's another problem we face, too. They're going after false guys, people. You know, they got guys looking like girls looking like guys, and nobody know who they are, you know. But that's the commitment of it. Anyway, I could go all day with this. But anyway, this really crushed me. They killed a young Nashville musician who was 24 years old, you know, wanted to take his car. And so what I'm realizing is that behind the eyes of these babies right here is what somebody went through in their lives that resulted this. It's sad because what's happened to these people, you know, what happened to these people resulted in these children doing this eventually. And we got many that are, this is happening every day. I know you don't see it on the news, and I know they're not talking about it enough. They only want to show it to you when it's one race against another. That's all they show you. They don't show you what's really going on out here, okay? So I want us to really understand that moving and focusing on forward progress is us realizing our role, me as a man, she as a woman, and what the next generation looks like, because they need us to show them the way, or else they won't do it. They're going to figure it out by the standards of the environment that they're in. That environment will be their teacher, because right now, Chris Brown is their teacher. You know, Young Thug is their teacher. You know, the Beyonce, teacher. They're teaching. So if we don't step up and we're not realizing our roles and our creation roles, and we're not teaching the next generation what it looks like, We'll continue to see this cycle, but it's going to get much worse than this. So we have to focus on the forward progress. We can't get caught up in, when we're in the marathon, we're going to get deterred and be stuck. We end up stuck. When you're stuck, you can't help anybody because you're busy always trying to get above water yourself. And that pain, because your kids are suffering and your kids are going to jail, they're going to prison. I mean, these kids are doing outlandish stuff now. Putting drugs in their rectum, and I mean, it's just find a new way to get high. You know, so that all comes from that's lack of understanding. And what the problem is that we got a whole lot of people in prison and even on the streets. Many of you guys read your Bible really faithfully. We got a lot of knowledge, but the Bible says knowledge and understanding is application. So if we understand what we're supposed to be doing, it starts being applied to our lives, and we move forward with that. Thank you, guys.
So we want to make sure you know that there's hope. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in God. As long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to make a different decision, a different choice. And I know our pastor's been talking about forward this month. He referenced Isaiah 43.
Yes.
And I'll just read that for you guys. Oh, Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. God will be with us. We Amen. Will not burn up. We will not be consumed. We will not drown.
Yes.
Because God is with us. And as long as we're here, we can make a different choice, a different decision, have a different outcome. A lot of us feel like, you know, we were born in this state, or we're struggling all the time, and we get comfortable with struggle, with pain, with hurt, with people doing us wrong. We get comfortable with that. But that's not the life God intended for us to have. God intended for us to have a life in that more abundantly.
Right.
That Amen. We are winners, that we are victorious, that we rise up. And that means it's going to take some different choices, different decisions. You might have to turn and be in isolation for a minute.
Yes.
Turn away from those friends. Hitting the wall. Get up. Get up and find somebody that can mentor you. Find somebody that can stand with you and pray with you. It's not going to be this, I'm waking up and I'm going to have a different life now. That's it. No, you have to make different decisions. Surround yourself with different people. Not just going through the motions, but really look at yourself and say, where do I need to change? Where do I need to make a different decision in my life?
Be it married or single. Mm-hmm. A lot of struggle, man. A lot of struggle. A lot of things taking place. So let's we wanna take a minute to just pray with some, if not all. If anybody wants to come for prayer. We have ministers here, pastors, teachers, and I really just forgive. You know, love like Christ loved. And try to remember that the things that you're facing right now is not supposed to be for the rest of your life. The financial struggles, the issues, you know, or even just some of the makeup of some of our mindsets of maybe, you know, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, the main thing is that we really want to just pray with you guys on forward focusing, not what you see all the time with your natural eye, but what's in the spirit realm, and understanding that God has a purpose and plan for you individually and collectively, and understanding that that whole isolation part that he got to, that was many of us, including me. That's why I was sitting in the room with two pistols sitting there. I was isolating myself because I knew I was in the dirt. So what we got to do is, you can't isolate yourself. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. You have to have somebody confess it to. But if you're so busy about somebody having something to say about what you're doing, either stop doing what you're doing or get out of your own head. You have to talk to somebody about it. You isolate yourself, you destroy yourself from the inside out.
And God is a God God is a God of forgiveness, restoration, and love.
Yes.
And so some of you may be harboring unforgiveness, a situation that happened to you. It may not even be a face, but you just like, this is not fair that I'm even in this situation. You need to let that go and say, today is a new day. I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to get out of this situation, and I will not get back into it. Because if you're stuck, the world's stuck. Because God placed you on this earth with a gift to bless his people. So if you're not impacting the people, who are you impacting? Yourself? Are you just stuck in yourself and what you can do and what you feel needs to happen? Or are you looking at, Lord, use me wherever you see fit? And so if you are in the need of for someone to stand with you, to forgive, to love, to restore you back to health, we're here. We can pray with you. We have many ministers and elders here that can stand with you and believe. And so if it's your marriage,
yes,
we are here. We will pray with you. If it's your children, whatever the situation is, God is here, and he will allow you to have a new beginning.
Something hard to tell you guys as we end, man, is if you haven't given yourself totally and wholly over to him, you have no idea what's waiting for you. It's so amazing, and what she talked about loving each other more so now than we ever did before, I never knew that this was coming. I never knew I would have this feeling again. We're wanting to get away from each other, and now we're traveling the world doing missions work. And now we're standing in front of you talking. And when I heard somebody say that people are waiting for you, if you give up, the people that are waiting for you won't see what God put in you. And we're standing here in front of you as victims of the trial also. But I'm happy to happy and pleased to let you know that we didn't give up. And the joke is on the devil. I feel blessed.
Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. Nothing can separate me from your love. There is so much more still worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. Nothing can separate me from your love, when there's so much more still worth fighting.